Our New Testament reading this morning comes from Luke chapter 24, starting at verse 44. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and the repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Then he led them out as far as Bethlehem, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he withdrew from them and was carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they were continually in the temple blessing God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Oh, it's lovely to be with you. And here we are. Here we are at our version of Ascension Day. Of course, it was on Thursday, actually, but it's lovely that we can celebrate it today. Let's pray. Oh, Father, thank you for your wonderful words for us today. And may they inspire us to go out from Hanwell, from wherever we are, in your name, to do your works. Amen. Well, the ascension of Jesus. I think it's one of those amazing biblical happenings when our only response is, "What?" Hopefully a "what" filled with awe and wonder, you understand. But the idea of Jesus sort of being lifted up into the heavenlies, like a stately rocket going up, is something which in our 21st century minds can be a bit strange. But the illumination that surrounds this rather surreal event is so massive and equally important for us in the 21st century as it was for the followers of Jesus back 2,000 years ago. We're invited by Jesus, we understand from this passage, to be inspired by the broad sweep of scripture, which points to Jesus having to suffer and die and rise again on the third day, and therefore obeying God's purposes. And the disciples of the time were puzzled at how their Messiah could possibly die on a cross, the instrument of torture, a Roman instrument of torture, completely criminalized and shamed. How could that be? Their Messiah was supposed to be a heroic figure, a saving figure. But of course, the saving came. There are many, many people in contemporary society who think the cross is foolishness. So it's really, really important for us to see the solidity of scripture pointing to who Jesus actually is and what is true about him. And if you have been following the readings around Easter, you'll remember the passage telling from Luke's gospel about the couple who returned to Emmaus, their home, after the events of the crucifixion and indeed on Resurrection Day. They were puzzled by the whole thing. They didn't understand what was happening. And they met on the road the unrecognizable or unrecognized Jesus. And afterwards they reflected, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" So it's really important that we open the scriptures and let it speak, let scriptures speak to us, all the prophecies that tell us about Messiah. Now, to understand the truth about Jesus and to take it on board, his key message, we have to take on the repentance and forgiveness of sins message. Jesus was always preaching repentance and forgiveness of sins. And we had that back in the day of John the Baptist. He came baptizing people, heralding Jesus, of course, baptizing people with the baptism of repentance and the forgiveness of sins. So repentance is an reorientation, a turning around of our lives as a response to Jesus's offer of salvation. That's the first thing we do. And then forgiveness is given to us and felt by us. It's a free gift, for goodness sake, by God, felt by us as we experience that salvation. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Words of Jesus from the cross. And I don't know whether you've ever thought that Jesus might be saying, Father, forgive Helen, because she doesn't know what she's doing. Forgiveness is his gift from the cross. This core message, so important, must be proclaimed in Jesus's name to all nations. And as you might have remembered immediately, Isaiah, who said, I will give you as a light to the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. This is a massive prophecy. So many important messianic prophecies in Isaiah. And Jesus's followers are to begin their proclamation in Jerusalem. Well, Jerusalem, we again, thinking back to the passages we've been reading up until now, in Isaiah, he prophesied that the king, God, Messiah, would come back to Zion, Jerusalem. The Jews were longing for God to return to the temple. They thought he'd abandoned them. And Isaiah says, he will come back. And here he is, he has come back to suffer and to die, but to rise again on the third day. And here he is now ascending to his Father and telling his disciples that what they must do. And they are, of course, the first witnesses, the primary witnesses. Many of you know we've been having a church open weekend. We've been doing a churchyard project, discovering all the cloud of witnesses who've been buried in our churchyard beforehand. And we were looking often when finding out the truth about the history long ago, a couple of centuries ago or more. We'd look for primary witnesses, the ones who actually were there and saw or wrote about it. Well, they were primary witnesses, those followers of Jesus. We could be called secondary witnesses. And in our project, we might have thought, well, you know, secondary isn't as good as primary. But actually, our job as witnesses, as secondary witnesses, is really important because we haven't seen with our seeing eyes. We've seen with our inward spiritual eyes, the eyes that are enlightened by faith. And so we are very important witnesses. And this little passage from Luke is, in fact, the Great Commission of Luke's Gospel. Now, in Matthew's Gospel, I think we're probably used to the words, go therefore and make disciples, says Jesus, of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And this is what they were actually sent out to do, sent out from Jerusalem to the whole world to do just that. And that's our job too. And we're only enabled to do it because of the power and authority of Jesus invested in us by the Holy Spirit. And as Andrew said, next week we celebrate Pentecost Sunday, the coming of the Holy Spirit, the birth of the new church. And that was the time when the disciples, the followers of Jesus in their thousands, were filled with the Holy Spirit and enabled to go out and proclaim the truth about Jesus. Well, more of that next Sunday. And so back to ascension. Perhaps we won't talk about the feet disappearing into the cloud, but actually, of course, that's very important. We can't have Jesus still on earth and be filled with his Spirit in the same way. But it's Jesus's followers and their responses, which maybe are important for us. What do they do? The first thing, they worship. And here we are, 2,000 years later, worshiping our God, worshiping our Saviour. And we do that at all times and in all places. So worship, so important. We can't be the coal that rolls out of the fire. It just goes out. We need to worship. We need to be with one another to worship. And then secondly, constantly blessing God. They were in the temple, blessing God. Bless you, God, for this saving work of your son, Jesus. Bless you, God, for this food we're about to eat at our table. Bless you, God, for this gathering that we're in today that tell the truth about your name. Bless you, God, for every single thing that we're full of blessings. And next, the disciples and us need to be full of joy and exhilaration. Need to be, well, we are. We are full of joy because that is the Christian gift. It's one of the fruits of the Spirit. Joy and exhilaration as our response to what Jesus has done for us. Do you know, there's no room in our spiritual lives, in our Christian lives, for lethargy and apathy. We may feel like that in our personal lives, but in our spiritual lives, we must cultivate this joy and energy, because every time we come to worship, we're sent out in his name to love and serve, and we need to do it with great joy. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we bless you for giving us your Son to be our Saviour. Please enable us to be your witnesses wherever we are, by our transformed lives, by our love and service, and when we get the opportunity, by our words. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill us with the power and authority of your Son, of Jesus, to speak and work in his name. Amen.